this message I'm going to give is sort of like a little devotional message. I don't know how coherent it's going to be, so just forgive me. If we have any visitors here, come back again when I'm sane, which will take about 2 or 3 more days to get over the jet lag and all that stuff. But God's love, far from being caused by goodness in the object, causes all the goodness which the object has. Loving it first into existence, and then into real, though derived, lovability. God is goodness. He can give good, but cannot need or get it. In that sense, all His love is, as it were, bottomlessly selfless. By very definition, it has everything to give and nothing to receive. Well, I anticipate just being a short word, and again, just some... What happens when I'm over there, because we were moving around so much and doing all those services, I don't really have time to prepare for what I'm going to do home because I'm scrambling just to pray and seek the Lord about what we're doing there. The journey home is a long journey, so you kind of figure you're going to have some time. But the early part of the journey, you kind of do have a little time. But as the journey continues, the weariness sets in, and reading and thinking through isn't very good. And so in just reading over some of this in Ruth at some point in the journey home, or maybe actually the day I waited to leave, I was in at the Airport View Hotel, and they all said hello, too. I think they were their best customers. Air conditioner in every room now. It's amazing. I was stunned. Best food in Africa, too. So I got to spend a little time with the Lord, but I only slept about 2 hours the night before. See, the problem is, it's not like I didn't just not get sleep on the plane. I'm taking that crazy Malarone, which Alan says if I don't take, I'm going to die, because I used to only take it part of the time and keep you from having malaria. And that stuff just kicks me so... it's terrible. And so there were several nights on the trip that I slept like 2 or 3 hours because of the Malarone. But I'm being faithful. Tell Alan I'm taking the Malarone, just to prove that I can. And I'm taking the Malarone through next Friday, so I probably won't be right until several days after that. So I was like getting this with the Lord, and the Lord just gave me a few devotional things I think will be encouragement to you. I knew it was the word of the Lord for me. I believe it's the word of the Lord for you. As a matter of fact, the word that Emery had prophetically, and all of you had, coincides with it, so I'm really encouraged by that. If you remember a few weeks ago, the last time I was here, we talked about gleaning in the fields of Boaz and just how Naomi went out desperate and poor to provide for her and for her mother-in-law. But she went out and it says that her chance chanced upon the fields of Boaz. And she said 3 different times that she was looking for favor in someone's sight. And what we talked about a few weeks ago was the fact that she wanted someone to know clearly who she was, where she had been, where she had come from, and still love her and show her favor. And so she went out, and again, the word is, the language is, she says, and she departed from there, verse 3, and she happened, or the chance chanced upon. One of the things the Lord really ministered to me is that the way the Holy Spirit used the language, her chance chanced upon. The truth is that when we're broken and desperate, our only chance is our Boaz. That's our only chance. I love that song, I'm on fire when I'm near you, because it talks about He's the only chance I'll take. He's our only chance. And when you come to the place in your life, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going on in your life, if you're desperately seeking refuge under His wings, and you believe that He's your only chance, you have a repentant heart, your one chance, God will find a way that you will always chance upon your Boaz. Do you hear me? The word is redeem. And the very prefix, re, means that God is there to restore again and again and again to a truly repentant heart. And I want to encourage you this morning, because you may say, you know, Bishop, even a few years ago when you talked about repentance, man, I caught that, but I've really stumbled since then. Then you can be redeemed again. Our Boaz is standing there, and your one chance is Him. And you didn't use up all your chances. There are no 9 lives for Christians. He's there to forgive and restore. He's there not just to forgive and to cleanse you, but He's there to assume responsibility for, to overcome for good all that's been occasioned by your failure. So God is faithful that whenever we realize He's our only chance and we desperately go out looking for Him in light of who we are, where we've been, no pretense, empty-handed, our God always finds a way for our chance to chance upon our Boaz. And what she found is what we always found. It wasn't just that she found favor. She encountered the kindness of God. She was a gleaner, not a reaper. She just picked up the scraps left over by the reapers. But when Boaz saw her, he made her a reaper. Not only did he make her a reaper, he invited her to eat with him. She was satisfied with her food. She fed her to the fullness. She had extra left over to take home to Naomi. And then he told them, don't say anything bad to her. Don't touch her. Let her go walk with the reapers. And besides that, leave bundles that you've already put together for her. And this word we love in verse 8, furthermore, and what we discover is the kindness of God and the grace of God is always further and always more than we ever expected. Now, in light of that, there's a couple of things I want us to see this morning, just I think as a word of encouragement to you. It says in verse 8, once Boaz asked who she was, and they told her, reminded her who she was, she was this Moabitess. Then Boaz says to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go and glean in another field, and furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. And then he tells her more things. Then she fell on her face, which is always, when you truly encountered grace with a repentant heart, now hear what I just said to you. When you truly, with a truly repentant heart, encounter the grace of God, it always causes you to fall down before Him. It doesn't create reckless Christians. It creates pure hearts and holy Christians. And it says that she fell on her face and bowing down to the ground and said to Him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And again in verse 13, when she says, I found favor in your sight, my Lord, you've comforted me. You've spoken kindly to my heart, is what the word says, though I am not like one of your maidservants, so I'm different. His answer to her is this, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Everything was fully reported to him. And we mentioned this a few weeks ago. He knew it all. He knew about her past, knew she was a Moabitess. Yet the only thing he spoke to her, because she came to him with a desperate heart seeking the refuge of God, came to him with a repentant heart, the only thing that he said to her was he made mention of her movement towards God. And then this is something I want you to notice, because this is so important. He says to her, all that you've done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been reported to me, and how you've left your mother and land of your birth and come to a people that you did not know. Two things, he says, got God's attention. One, and then he goes on, he says, may God reward you. And may you get a full reward from the Lord. God rewards suffering love. You need to hear that. He uses the word reward. When God finds someone who's willing to be inconvenienced, even in the smallest way, to show kindness to suffering humanity, God will reward them. Do you hear me? We don't give away the love of Christ so that God will reward us. It's because we're in union with the compassionate heart of Jesus and His thirsting heart, and the love of Christ controls us. But the smallest act of the kindness of God to a suffering human being gets His attention, and God rewards. Another thing we mentioned a few weeks ago, God rewarded even the slightest move to seek refuge under His wings. Those may seem like real simple things, but it's really important for you to understand, because you may be in a place sometime in your life spiritually where you're so weak and defeated and angry and frustrated with yourself that you can't hardly make any move at all other than just sigh over your sin. That enough is enough for God to respond and to reward just your sigh, just your longing. Amen. Now, the other thing that the Lord really spoke to me, I think this really coincides with some of the prophetic words that were given. And it says in verse 14, "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she ate, sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.' And then she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, 5.5 gallons, or several bushels. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after her." Listen to this. "Gave to Naomi after what she had left after she was satisfied." Now twice in these verses, verse 14 and verse 18, the Holy Spirit makes it important for us to understand that Ruth was satisfied at Boaz's table. And in verse 18, when she goes to Naomi, it says, "And she gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed.' And then she told her mother-in-law, whom she had worked, and said, 'The name of the man whom I worked today is Boaz.'" Here's the thing the Lord spoke to me, is this. It's important, as God's called us to be fishers of men, and to walk in extravagant acts of suffering love for other human beings, to give away to people. One of the things the older I got, what I came to realize is that the older I got, the more demands there were on me from people. When you're single, life is pretty easy, and there's not a lot of responsibilities, and particularly on a 24-hour basis. And when you get married, suddenly there's this other will in your life requiring attention and affection and selflessness. And then you get children, and it becomes exponentially so. I mean, you know, Woody or Luke never sat around when they were like two and going, "You know, I know Dad's really tired. I'm a little hungry, but I'll just put it off till he gets some rest. I know he just got home from work." That never was like that. And besides the needs of those people around us in this fallen world. And what I've come to realize over the years, and what the Lord spoke to me, is this, is that Ruth really had nothing to give. She went as a gleaner. And a gleaner just picks up scraps. And a gleaner has to go every day because it's really not enough. It just sustains life, barely, getting up what's left over after the reapers have gone through. And she went out to glean and to bring back enough to hopefully sustain life from day to day. But the truth is, she ended up enjoying that which a reaper enjoyed and even more, because she sat next to Boaz. And she ate and was satisfied. And then they left bundles for her. Even reapers didn't get to enjoy that. And the reality is that we have nothing to give except scraps of our own best effort. I mean, if you remember earlier in this chapter, when she was identified by Boaz, when Boaz got her identity, he said, "Who is this woman?" They said, "She is a Moabitess who came with Naomi, and she's been gleaning all morning, but she's now resting." She was tired because she was working hard all morning, just to get enough, hopefully, all day long, so that she and Naomi didn't starve to death, Ruth. It's important and significant that you and I are satisfied in His presence. Because if we aren't, we will never have enough to give away to others except the scraps of our best effort. And all that does is barely keep people alive. You hear what I'm saying to you? The Holy Spirit makes it really important here that we understand. It says, "And she ate." And one of the translations says it was heaped upon her plate. "And she ate and was satisfied and had some left over." We only give to others out of our own fullness. And it's really, really important that you are satisfied and full before you go out, even in your daily routine, and think you have anything to give other than flesh scraps to the people who live with you. Now, that coincides a lot with the words we got this morning, doesn't it? And we had this word about the snooze button. It's not just about your devotional. It's just about the time God calls you in Himself. And if we ever forever could push in the snooze button, all we have to give are the remnants of our own best efforts we've gleaned. Unless you're full and satisfied, what you give will never be enough. In Boaz's presence, she was nourished by him, and she experienced his extraordinary kindness. Remember, he had her sit next to him. So she knew the passion that comes from just being in his presence. She knew what it was to be nourished by him. Not just nourished by him, but she was satisfied and there was left over. In the process, she understood full acceptance. She was a foreigner, a stranger. And yet he had her sit next to him and fed her. She experienced the acceptance, the sense of belonging in the presence of Boaz. She was satisfied in every way. And there was enough left over in his presence. And she was nourished by him and knowing his extraordinary kindness. Fruit is excess vine life. That's all fruit is proof that the tree and the root is healthy. And the sap that flows from the root and into the tree, and if it's excessive, it'll show up on the branches. And that's why they prune it. They prune trees. I worked as a landscaper. We prune trees so that more life, bringing healing and comfort and kindness to that injured place, would show up with more fruit. Because the more life you have, the more fruit you have. And fruit is just excess Christ life. It's leftover Jesus. It's overflow of Jesus. It's the result of a life being satisfied and there's left over so that others can enjoy. And what God's called us to give away to others is the excessive kindness of God and the excessive grace of God and the excessive nourishment of God and the remnant presence of God that we've known in the presence of our Boaz. Amen? If you aren't full and satisfied, you have nothing to give to the people around you in your own family you're called to minister to except the scraps of your own flesh's best effort. We give away overflow. Our ministry for Him is utterly dependent on His ministry to me. I was reminded again and again 14 times on this trip when I give the little deal about how to not die if you end up being a ship or you go, and they always tell you, and we have a loss of oxygen. They give you this routine. I don't know if you've ever been on a plane that happened, but I got a feeling that when that happens, everybody's screaming and freaking out. They're having to tell you again what to do. But they always tell you it'll drop down and make sure that you put the oxygen on you first. Then you're able to help and assist those around you put the oxygen on them. Man, that was such a word to me. In light of this, the Lord said, don't you understand? Unless you're receiving life, you have no life to give to anybody else. You'll all be in a panic. I have to know the breath of God in the presence of Boaz. So I have excess breath to give away to others. You hear me? Thank you, Emery, for being obedient. It's a good word, brother. The more we spend time in the presence of Boaz, the more we experience his extravagant kindness, don't we? Don't we always go to the presence of Boaz with something to be cleansed? Something to be healed and restored because we're fallen people? Don't we always find further and more? Don't we always find his acceptance and love? And not only his forgiveness, but his commitment now to overcome, overrule, and to overcome for good the whole situation caused by my stupidity and sin. Don't we always find that once again we still belong? And hope that he fills us and satisfies us as only he can. And whenever Jesus satisfies you, I trust you, there's always more left over. Just like the 12 baskets full, that's the lesson. When Jesus feeds you with his presence and with his kindness, there's always 12 baskets full left over. And it's from that you give to others. It's from that we give away. Nothing more sad than a sincere person with all the sincerity and zeal in the world going out, getting the scraps as a gleaner and trying to help fallen and broken humanity. That's why so many missionaries, so many ministers, so many Christians committed to ministry burn out and don't make it, because they give away from their best effort and the scraps, and it becomes exhausting. But when you're in his presence again and again and again, there's always left over an abundance of the extravagant loving kindness of Jesus that satisfies those around us. And the interesting thing, that when Ruth came back and she carried in 5.5 gallons, now this is a woman who went out to glean and hopefully would come back with enough for one day. And even that wouldn't be satisfying, it would just keep you alive. She comes back with enough food for 2 weeks. That either she was the fastest gleaner in the history of the world, or something extraordinary had happened to her. And let me just say this to you, whenever you and I, if we spend our lives lingering in the presence of Boaz, being satisfied again and again and again, carrying around with us the abundant overflow of the kindness of God and the provision of God, people around you recognize that something extraordinary is different about you. Something extraordinary has happened to you. This is why Naomi said, "Where have you been?" Basically, what in the world did you, what did you fall into? And she says, "Well, I ended up at this place. My chance chanced upon a guy named Boaz." And then Ruth and Naomi, as you will see next week, Naomi goes, "He's our kinsman redeemer. She chanced upon him." See, whenever a person commits their life to hanging out with Boaz, knowing their own desperate need for fullness before they have anything to give away, their children, their wives, their husbands, the people they're called to minister to, only then, I can assure you that the people around you will recognize something extraordinarily different about you. There's something different about your attitude, your disposition, your perspective on reality and life. There's something different about a graced person, a repentant sinner who's experienced kindness instead of rejection. There's something different about them. There's a joy and peace about them. To know you have a Redeemer who redeems again and again, one who doesn't just forgive, but who overrules for good, who takes responsibility to overrule for good what we've done. That person knows a peace and a joy that other people don't know. And people will wonder, what's happened to you? And then we're able to tell about our Boaz. See, a witness is somebody who's experienced something firsthand. And they don't tell about something they read about or just heard about. They're telling about something they've seen and experienced. They have credibility. You linger in the presence of Boaz and let him satisfy you. You'll have all kinds of opportunities to talk about him, because everybody out there is a gleaner and desperate to be satisfied. Amen? Well, that's my jet lag words.